You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. In 1960, the first oral contraceptive was approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. That drug, Enovid, changed the course of history for women. Beverly Strassman has a challenge for the drug companies that make hormonal birth control. Don't rest on your laurels. Her research indicates it may be past time for pharmaceutical companies to tweak the formulation of the pill. Beverly Strassman is a professor of anthropology and a researcher at the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research. Welcome.
Thank you, Cynthia.
What questions were you seeking to answer in your new study?
Okay, well, it built on a prior study where I worked in Mali, West Africa, and I showed that the Dogon people have very different reproductive patterns compared to what we have, and these patterns are more similar to those of probably our ancestors over the evolutionary past up until about 100 years ago. And so the change in our reproductive patterns is probably involved in the epidemic of breast cancer that we have in the United States and other countries today. And so my prior research looked at the number of menstrual periods that women have over their lifetimes when they're not using any form of contraception. And I found that the West African women I studied had only about 100 periods, whereas North American women have about 400. Mm. And this increase in number of periods is associated with an increase in hormonal exposure. And anything that increases hormonal exposure, of which another factor is an early age at menarche, in other words, an early age at first menstrual period, anything that increases hormonal exposure, for example, the first menstrual period, initiates kind of the ovaries to get into a state where they produce hormones.
Kicks them into action.
It kicks them into action. And there's a direct link between hormonal exposure and risk for breast cancer.
Certainly, we've heard a lot of talk recently about a correlation between hormone replacement therapy, HRT, connected to increased breast cancer risk. So this is looking at breast cancer pills or our hormonal levels?
Well, so what I did in my earlier work is I showed that in our evolutionary past, women probably had way lower hormonal exposure compared to what women are getting just from their own ovaries today, all right? Mm-hmm. So what I did in my recent study is I wanted to ask the question, all right, we're already kind of in a quandary because we're getting excessive amounts of hormonal exposure from our own ovaries. What happens when we go on the birth control pill?
And we get synthetic hormones.
Yes, exactly. We get a synthetic estrogen called ethinyl estradiol, and we get synthetic progesterone. And so I wanted to know, does this further aggravate already a bad situation, or is it actually protective?
What'd you find?
Well, I did this project with the students in my human reproductive ecology course, and what we found is that several of the hormonal contraceptives that are out there today are dramatically increasing our exposures. Particularly, several compounds are increasing our exposure to synthetic progesterone by more than fourfold.
That's big.
That's big, yeah. And for some, it was eightfold and so on. So our concern is that the safety of hormonal contraceptives has not been sufficiently well established. And also, I feel that the drug companies should already have been ahead of the game and done the study that the students and I did. In other words, they should have already been able to answer this question. Are women getting more hormonal exposure when they don't take hormonal contraceptives and, say, use barrier methods of contraception? Are their own ovaries giving them more? Or when you suppress a woman's own ovaries and instead give her synthetic hormones, does she get more? And it was extremely difficult for us to answer this question because the drug companies don't really even provide serum levels for hormones for women on the pill. Usually they provide those data only for the first and the last day of dosing. Hmm. And so they really should be providing serum levels for women on the pill throughout the menstrual cycle. And they should have more than 12 to 78 women in their samples because women are so diverse in terms of how they metabolize hormones and so on.
So what is the takeaway, Beverly, from your study first for women?
Okay, well, I really want to make it clear that hormonal contraception has greatly improved women's lives, allowed an expansion of women's roles in the workplace, given women more control over when they reproduce and so on. So I'm totally all for it. But at the same time, millions of women take hormonal contraceptives worldwide, and it bothers me that the drug companies haven't done the research that's needed to establish the safety of these drugs. They need to do this research. They're resting on their laurels, as you said at the outset. Mm-hmm. And they're also not really being very forthcoming about the risks associated with the different formulations. And part of that is because they don't actually know. So the researchers who directly study cancer risk have to cope with incredible time lags of 20 years between when a new drug comes on the market and when they're able to actually assess whether or not it causes an increase in cancer risk. So that's why theoretical studies like mine, where we just look at hormone levels associated with the various compounds, can be of great value.
Beverly, what's the most important question that a woman on birth control pills should ask her gynecologist or her physician when she sees her doctor?
She should ask her doctor, why am I on this pill versus another alternative? What do you personally know about the cancer risks and the epidemiological data associated with the different formulations? And am I on this birth control pill for a kind of subsidiary reason? One reason might be acne. Is it worth it to be on this particular formulation for a kind of secondary reason other than prevention of pregnancy? And I would also encourage women to speak with their doctors about the non-hormonal intrauterine device to see if that's a good choice for them. And I totally understand that some women may shy away from the copper. But the other thing I'd like to say to women is that the most important thing to do to protect your health in this arena is to avoid getting sexually transmitted infections. And this includes using latex condoms or dental dams consistently and correctly. So I think that protecting against STDs to safeguard your health is something that shouldn't, you know, be forgotten when we focus on hormones in the birth control pill.
Beverly Strassman is the lead author of a University of Michigan study looking into how birth control pills affect the level of hormones in women's blood serum. Thanks for sharing your work with us, Beverly.
Thank you so much, Cynthia.